As we come to the end of this final sitting of the retreat, I'll offer you some reflections or something to discern in yourself. The retreat has been partly about appreciating the role of conditionality, conditions that we find ourselves in, and how we might contribute beneficial conditions for Dharma growth. And now at the end of the retreat, what conditions are in you or present that were not there at the beginning? What conditions or supports do you know in yourself that you would like to call on going forth from this retreat? As your appreciation of faith changed in the course of the retreat, might faith be a greater support for you? As your appreciation of gladness increased for you, is there a way that gladness can be a greater support for you? Has your understanding of joy changed for you? Are there ways that joy can have a greater role in your life? Have you come to a fuller understanding of tranquility, especially tranquility of the body? Are there ways that tranquility can be a good companion for you? You have a greater appreciation of happiness or new understandings of happiness. Might happiness have a role as your friend? Do you have a new or different connection with samadhi? Are there ways that samadhi can be a partner for you? Have you come to a more useful understanding of seeing things as they are, of having insight? Is there a way that seeing things as they are can be a guide? Have you understood the benefits of disenchantment? Are there things in your life that you're now ready to be disenchanted with? Have you discovered a greater patience in allowing attachments to fade away? Are you ready and willing to allow attachments to fade away? Are you better able to recognize when you are liberated and free? Free of attachments, of clinging. Have you come to a greater faith in the benefits of freedom from clinging? And what knowledge do you have of what has changed for you? What knowledge do you have of what is not present when you are freed? And finally, have you come to a more useful understanding about your suffering? Are you more ready to practice with your suffering? And to meet suffering with the faith in that practice? And then to end the sitting, I won't ring a bell, partly because of the Zoom challenges around doing it. And instead, I will bow to you all silently. And with this bow, this sitting ends. So, a few words about final words, I suppose, on this theme that we've had for this retreat. I think it's well known that one of the central aspects of life, one of the aspects of life that's most central in the Buddha's teaching, is impermanence or inconstancy or change, things becoming different. But the fact that things are all in process, all changing, all the time, does not mean that they are random or chaotic. Things unfold in, sometimes it's said, in lawful ways. Things unfold based on the conditions that are present. And so in a sense, our life is a process. It's always changing. Every day we wake up, it's new. Every exhale, it's a new world when we inhale, vice versa. And one of the things I believe we come to appreciate more and more in Dharma practice is how thoroughly the world is renewed moment by moment, at least the world of our experience, the world of how we are in relationship to everything else and how we see things and experience things. And I think Dharma practice helps us to be fresh and ready to let go and see, not hold on to the past, and ready to kind of be fresh for the next moment. And then how we respond in the next moment is a condition for the following moment. So if we respond with generosity, we're creating the conditions that are very different than if we respond with greed. If we respond with friendliness, goodwill, we're putting in place very different conditions than if we respond with meanness or criticalness, hostility. And so it goes. Many examples like this. And the ideal is that we respond in wholesome, beneficial ways, but we do so because it feels like the most intimate, right way to respond. It feels like this is what serves us the best. It comes out of the best places in us. It comes out of the places that are not contracted or tight or causing us suffering. So it's not an obligation to act in beneficial ways, but it's really an expression of what's really we've connected to in a deep way. The Buddha's disciple, Sariputta, in one discourse quotes the Buddha. We have no other record of the Buddha's teaching this except for this quote. Sariputta said that the Buddha said that whoever sees the Dharma sees dependent arising. Whoever sees dependent arising sees the Dharma. It isn't so much that these 12 steps that we taught this retreat are the most essential. What's more important is the appreciation of conditionality and how things arise dependent on other things. Because that's where we have some role to play. That's where we can see a possibility of freedom. I think that one of the important reasons the Buddha taught conditionality or dependent arising is so that we would never assume that any psychological state condition that we have is permanent, that we're stuck with it. Whatever psychological state, mental activity, things that we have, there's something about it, some way or other, that it's fluid, it's changing, or it's inconstant. There's something about it that if we don't take it as being solid and fixed, helps us to release the grip of our, the fist in the mind, grip of our, we have on things. And so we see conditionality, we see the Dharma. But finally, I'd like to say that the Dharma is no other than yourself. There is no Dharma outside of each individual person. You don't find the Dharma in a book that talks about the Dharma. You don't find the Dharma in the words some Dharma teacher is talking about. The Dharma is really found in ourselves. And it's partly found through this seeing how things are fluid and changing and conditioned, and discovering something about the freedom that's there. And then the Dharma can flow through us, the goodness of it all. The goodness and care and love and these good qualities become more and more who we are. And they become the conditions for more good in the world. Not just for ourselves, but hopefully for the whole world. So that was a little summation or concluding words on our theme for today, this retreat. And I'd like to use this occasion to express my great gratitude to all of you. And I try to say that one of the meanings or purposes of faith is inspiration. And I'm inspired by all of you to show up here and see the tiles, not so much the tiles, but to see you practicing and sitting still and meditating. And this was really, I felt like I was drinking in joy and inspiration and delight. I feel the tranquility sometimes coming out of my computer screen. It was fantastic. And I think that one of the things that was really nice for me in being on this retreat with all of you is that and this maybe says more about me than anything else, but that I think it's hard to practice in daily life, hard to practice alone sometimes, and you're kind of half alone practicing in this retreat. It isn't like you're totally alone without any community, but you're not in person either. And so the motivation to practice, the motivation to show up and do the practice however much you could in this retreat, I feel comes from, my assumption is it comes from a sense of purpose, a sense of inspiration, a sense of dedication that is precious that any human being should have. So it was really inspiring to to see it and day after day. And so for that, I'm phenomenally grateful. And in saying that, I also kind of add to that that in the way that I felt supported and inspired by all of you, I can well imagine that you were inspired by each other, that you benefited from sharing this retreat in this kind of format, and knowing that other people were practicing and being present. And this idea that we're in the community creating the retreat together is such a valuable part of what we try to do at IRC inside Retreat Center, to really have a retreat center where we feel like we're sharing in creating the retreat, that we're doing it together as a field of mutual benefit, and ideally a field of mutual care. And it's, you know, in some ways the teachings of IRC is the old saying that the medium is the message, that how IRC is set up and organized and run is, I feel, a very important part of what we're transmitting to the world. The fact that we offer retreats freely, it's an act of generosity, not just from IRC in some abstract way, but from probably by now thousands and thousands of people who have in all kinds of ways have supported IRC and with their donations, with their volunteer work, with their all kind, with their practice that they come and practice here. And it's a phenomenal thing to, I feel, to have this field of generosity that it is. And also this phenomenal field of volunteers and field of people who feel a strong connection and heartfelt contact to this whole thing that we're doing. And my hope is that in that the message that comes through this medium is one that is a really healthy condition to support many of us in the practice, that it is nourishment and support and inspiration, and helps develop faith, inspiration in the practice. It helps bring gladness and joy and tranquility and happiness, and all these foundational qualities that. And it hopefully also demonstrates or inspires that as we mature in this Dharma practice, that this level of generosity and care and kindness and support and mutuality is an expression of our freedom. So that as we come along in practice, we kind of recognize that in ourselves. So it's not just that we feel free from our attachments and clinging, but we recognize that in that freedom, there are really great qualities that we could inspiringly bring to our society and live for the support and for the welfare and happiness of others as just a natural expression, not an obligation. So, thank you all very, very much for this time.